It's the Barry Pod on 99.3 thevine.com.
Joining us now in studio is Napa's District 4 City Council member and Vice Mayor now, Bernie Narvaez. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry. Buenos dias.
Oh, buenos dias. Yes.
You sound great.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I don't know why I got so excited to say buenos dias.
And Feliz Navidad.
Yes. That's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
It's a great one.
So now, getting down to some topics and get the greetings out of the way. It's end of the year, and I was thinking, you know, let's have a little recap and look ahead moment. And I thought about you, and thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Barry.
Looking back at 2024 for the city of Napa, is it a good year?
You know, every time I get a chance to serve the community, it's a good year, even many of the challenges that we face. But there's also some wins. You get to meet community members. You get to solve some issues, at least address issues. And, you know, the more you do it, I think the better you get communicating and working with people, even if sometimes you come at opposite sides and come in, you know, meet in the middle and figure something out. But 2024 was a unique year. As you know, it was an election. It's still a unique year. It's an election cycle, and we have a lot of things we need to do as far as the Napa City Council goes. Mm-hmm.
Such as?
Well, we need to appoint a new council member. Liz Alessio, council member, supervisor-elect, will join the Board of Supervisors of Napa County next month. Today's actually her last council meeting. We have a council meeting today at 3:30 p.m., no evening session, so please join us and help us acknowledge a lot of people. We're going to acknowledge Gordon Huther and Senator Bill Dodd. So three people that have put a lot of time to serve the community, so they, you know, rightfully so, earned a recognition by the city of Napa, so we'll be doing that.
Yeah, Bill is ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy life with his grandkids.
Right.
That's what he said to us.
Definitely.
So. I've known Bill since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
3:30 session this afternoon.
Correct,
for that?
Yes.
Will there be any snacks?
You know what? I don't know. We'll find out. I'll let the city
That'll get
know
Barry
that
there.
Barry Martin wants some snacks. Any preferences?
Anything's fine. Yeah, okay. I'm easy.
What's your favorite candy, Bernie?
You know what? Candy?
Yeah.
Man, more of a snack. I like popcorn.
Oh, okay.
But candy,
I'm wearing Reese's Pieces socks, so. Yeah.
Anything with chocolate caramel, I really like.
Ooh, same. So. Good choice. All right, moving on.
Thank you.
We said we were going to ask him.
Yes, about socks. Yeah, that was
no candy.
Okay, we've done it. Now,
I do wear weird socks.
Weird socks are
fun. My daughters drew these designs, like Christmas designs, and then somehow my wife got them on socks. And every time I wear them, they get really excited.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Very nice.
I got socks with my kids' faces on it. They really enjoyed that.
Well, that's funny. Sorry, Barry.
Barry all right. Is so annoyed just, with me right
just
now.
Just waiting you out. So here's a question. The sales tax increase that passed was designed to solve a future revenue problem. Doesn't hurt to have a little extra money now. What are your priorities and what are your constituents in District 4 asking for when they hear that maybe there's some money to do some things?
A great question. So the reason we put in the ballot is because we saw that the ongoing expenses – not just one time. We're not talking about one-time expenses. We're talking about ongoing expenses to really provide the basic services to our community was outpacing the revenue, right? So we were worried about – we have to balance the budget. So we can either do what we did in 2020 when we had the shutdown and freeze positions, delay projects, and those in closed meetings to the public, right? So we learned a lot from that experience, knowing that now that we're seeing that same trend of expenses outpacing revenue, we know that we're either going to have to do that approach again, which wasn't very well welcomed by our community because we weren't able to provide the services their community expects, or we can ask our community to invest in those services that we want to provide. And fortunately, it passed. But we also recognize that there was just as many people that didn't want it, right? So the oversight committee that we're going to be appointing in the next couple months, we're going to make sure that we do buy right by the community, not just the people that supported it, but the people that didn't support it. Because I want to know what the disconnect is. You know, we want to continue to do good by our community and provide the basic services and also modernize things that have been deferred. Our parks is one of them. Our streets, we have over 220 miles of streets. And, you know, we, it's resources that are mainly constrained to update the streets, the sidewalks, the trees, the storm drains. Those things are old infrastructure, a lot of them. Also, different areas where we pave roads have different ground, different kind of soil that we have to really dig deep and figure out the best way to lay the road so it lasts longer. All that stuff needs to be engineered, needs to be planned, and it takes a lot of money. And, you know, that's how we're going to be able to go back to cover the basics even better and also modernize some of the infrastructure that has been outdated.
So you've been on the council now for what?
4 years.
4 years.
I just got reelected.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. In this election cycle. How do you handle, because I know you guys work incredibly hard, how do you handle all the criticism that you have thrown your way? Because there's a lot of criticism that comes back at you guys.
Well,
and now that you're 4 years in, you know, what? How do you handle
it? How do I handle it? That's a great question. So, you know, we do everything in a public setting. Mm-hmm. When somebody's upset, you know, that for something's going on in the neighborhood. I mean, sometimes people can be unreasonable, but there's always some kind of truth behind why they're angry. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to focus on that and find, okay, where is the source of this coming? So we can address the issue. It could be, hey, you know, I called the city many times. Maybe it was the wrong number. I've emailed. Maybe it was the wrong person. There, we have a process of receiving information in a very efficient way so we can put it in the right place. But a lot of times what happens is, you know, people post on Nextdoor, on Facebook, complain, right? And it doesn't get to where it needs to get to. And people get frustrated. They share with their neighbors, people they love, the trust, and their spaces. But we have to make sure we get it to the right place so we can address it. Mm-hmm. So I've been actually replying on Nextdoor quite a bit. I should have been doing it earlier, but now I realize, okay, I don't need to get sucked in into a you know, debate or anything confrontational, but provide the facts, provide a direction how we can address it, because it does take effort from the public to get the information to us.
Yeah.
If you've gone through a pothole for 3 weeks and the city doesn't know, please let us know so we can address it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't just complain on Nextdoor, like you said.
Yeah. One of the methods that citizens can use is through the city's website. There's a request a service function, right?
Yes. The service center is the most effective way. So if I get an email, I want to put it in the service center first, right? And then I'll follow up for it. And that's going to go to the right department, whether it's public works, whether it's a code enforcement, if it's abandoned vehicles, shopping carts, it's drain issues, construction issues, sidewalks, potholes, you know, parks issues, trees issues. A lot of it you can do there. Mm-hmm. And that will go into our department. They will prioritize that depending on what the ongoing projects that we have in place. Because if it's an issue that's known and we're already going to work on it, then it's going to be part of a bigger project.
A topic that's been very much in the news, and we've had guests on talking about this for the city as well, is the homeless problem and issue and the new steps that are being taken. There was reporting on the Kennedy Park situation here on the station and in the Register in the last couple of weeks. What are your thoughts on that process? Is the city doing the right thing with eliminating the encampments?
Well, the goal is to get people to the services that we provide to people that need it, whether it's mental health, housing, any other kind of support. We have resources. We have a good team. And, you know, for one reason or another, people have not wanted to receive those services. So it's a, you know, a compassionate approach, a human element approach, but also accountability with, you know, public safety, you know, protecting our environment and making sure people that, you know, whether they're in a good place or not to make those decisions, you know, care court is on the issue that we're going to be addressing. And Molly Reagan, our deputy city manager, does a great job, her and her team, in working with Napa County and Abode to really address those mm-hmm. issues. But from a higher, you know, from a council perspective, is we want to make sure that we keep our community safe, that people need help get the services. Because right now in the rainy season, cold season, it's very dangerous, right? We also want to make sure that we provide the services to help people transition into a place where they can be safe and productive, have a door that they can lock and keep their, you know, have their own space. But sometimes when you've been in a place Like, can you park for too long? You kind of forget how to get there. You just need some help.
Yeah, Molly came in and talked with us a few weeks ago about that entire situation and how the city is going about helping these folks. And it was really great. Okay, I have a question for you, Bernie.
Okay.
What is a little known fact about the council that people would be surprised to know?
Ooh, you know what? I mean,
like, what's something funny that you guys do at council meetings, or what's something that the public wouldn't have any idea about?
It's really hard because we can't do a lot without a public setting because it's so restrictive, you know, the Brown Act. But I think, you know, when we have those long meetings at the end of the night, we probably just look at each other and kind of sigh like, yeah, okay, we got through that. Right. Because, you know, there's issues that come up. They're very important to our community. We put the work in, and at the end of the night, I was like, okay, I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
You know, and that can, we kind of do that.
Oh, you sigh like that. Cause yeah. I was a commissioner for the Parks and Recreation Department for a few years, and we would heavy sigh when the same person came up and spoke at this next meeting. We go,
well, not necessarily a specific person.
No, now.
What I say is, you know, if there's an issue where there's like 30 public comments, it's a 2-hour issue.
Yeah.
It's 10 p.m. Right? We start at 3:30. It's not really that. It's not a bad side. It's like, okay, good. We successfully had this meeting. It was a long one, but it was a job that we need to do, and now we can kind of like
relax, get a cocktail. Yeah.
Maybe. Or go home and sleep.
Yeah.
It's my favorite new activity is sleep.
Sorry, I like to throw those questions out.
That's a good one. One last thing for me.
Back to seriousness.
Public art installations have never gone perfectly smoothly in this town, maybe in any town. Somebody always
does. Are you referring to the cactus?
Yes. Somebody always doesn't like it. Either thinks it's in the wrong place or they don't approve of the content, the way it's done. The reaction to the cactus sculpture that's at the roundabout seems to be a little more vehement. I noticed there were like 400 comments on some Facebook posts.
And Nextdoor and everywhere.
Yeah. Everybody's got an opinion. Yeah. Everybody has an opinion. That's one thing. But this one seems to be a little more amped up. Without any negativity at all toward what the artist was conveying, what they were expressing, right? What are your thoughts about this reaction and in general, the fact that you can't win with the public art issue? People think it's misspent money, which is not really true because it's dedicated money,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
I think but then people they criticize, wonder why a cactus.
That's part of it too, but there's a backstory to that. So
there is a backstory, and there was quite a bit of discussion on council, and you know, not everybody in the city was there, so they didn't get to hear the story.
Right.
First of all, it's art, right? People are going to love it. People are going to hate it. Some people are going to be indifferent. Same thing when we did the funding of the art playground at Fuller Park, right? There was a lot of discussion about that. Art is, it's interesting because that's what art's supposed to do. It's supposed to stir up those feelings. You know, I think it's a byproduct of what we're trying to do with more public art. In this case, there was, you know, requirements of what kind of art we wanted. We didn't want something that was going to be grapes or necessarily vineyard specific. It could be adjacent, but we wanted something different, right? And that's what we got. We got something different. But what's significant about this and the cactus is that it's a migrant plant that is not from here, you know? And I associate with that because I was born in Mexico. I came here from Mexico. And when you go to other places around the community that Latino homes and you see gardens, you'll see a cactus. And so it does represent, you know, part of our community that's not in the front, you know, in the front of a lot of things, right? You see people in the vineyard. Sometimes you don't see them at all, but they're out there working. So this is supposed to represent that, the migrant community.
If only they could put a billboard with that story, everyone would go, oh, that's beautiful.
But this is getting people to say, hey, I think it's ugly. Well, I think it's beautiful. What is this?
Right.
Right.
And it's then, getting people
and then,
to talk.
Yeah. And then you find the story. Some people still hear the story and still think it's ugly, you know, and other people's like, oh, I love it. You know, so you have on both sides, but that's what art is. Mm-hmm. I personally think that having that conversation, stir up those emotions, bring forward the message that the art is supposed to convey, with the purpose of the art.
Heck, we do plays, and some people love them, some people hate them.
That's right. Yeah.
It's like
I do stick figures, and some people hate them, and my kids do better, and they're like, that's not a drawing, Dad. It's not a drawing. They're really good, and I'm not that
you
good.
You said, get out of the house now, kids. No. I'm just kidding.
Napa's Vice Mayor and District 4 City Council Member Bernie Narvaez. Thanks for coming in today. Great conversation.
Pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. Now, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
All right.
You're listening to The Berry Pod, tastings from Wine Country Live in the morning.
On 99.3, thevine.com.